Hey there, thanks so much for tuning in to the City Light Church podcast. We're so honored you've joined us. We hope that today's podcast brings you hope, encouragement, and most of all, adds value to you in your walk with Jesus Christ. We long to see people grow from where they are closer to where God desires them to be, and it's our hope that this podcast is an essential element in that process for you. So grab a pen, your Bible, and a journal, and let's dive into today's message.
Well, go ahead. Keep on, you know, loving on each other, high-fiving. I won't stop you till you get the chips and dips and you're starting to make a meal out of the turning this place into a city group or something. Hey, everybody. My name is Ken, lead pastor here on behalf of all of our pastoral team and our leadership. Thank you so much for being here today. What an amazing, amazing weekend it's been around here. It's kind of, man, they know what I'm talking about. And it's kind of weird because we were here Friday night and Saturday yesterday, and now I woke up this morning and went, man, it's Monday morning. It felt like we'd been at church all, and it felt like Sunday. So I get here and people are showing up. I'm like, this is weird. What's going on? Praise God. It was last Sunday. It's all blending together now. Last Sunday, I talked to you about Peter and Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And I kind of got into the message, but not. You know, it's kind of one of those. It's all right. And I just want to keep, I want to go forward, and I'm going to put a period on the end of this everlasting series we've been in, this thing that has gone on for 6 weeks that we didn't even know when we started it. It would just be a communication of intimacy and talking about our connection with the Lord. And want to put a period on it today. And this part is intimacy part six, but it's really the restoration of intimacy, the restoring of intimacy. And this is so fabulous because this, the Lord's been doing this in my life. Since COVID, we've kind of come back and a lot of things have gotten reset. It's been kind of neat. I like that, and the Lord hasn't really allowed me to plan messages out like we used to in the old days. We would kind of schedule them out and write a series and kind of know where we were going, and I haven't been released to do that, and I end up with things like this where messages have just dovetailed together and kind of made their own series. And so a week ago when I'm preparing this, I haven't yet gone through the conference that we had this weekend, the Worth the Fight conference. And man, as I'm listening and as I'm reading my notes, I'm like, oh my goodness, the Lord's, he is so cool. He just writes some of the coolest stuff, you know? And you guys think, boy, that Pastor Ken, he brings a good word every week. I really don't. It's the Holy Spirit that imparts. And I just kind of go to the oven, pull out a loaf of bread. I put some butter on it, a little garlic salt, and I hand it to you. But trust me, it was the Lord who grew the grain, right? It was he who harvested it, milled it. It is he that baked it, and it is he that's presenting to you. And I just want you to taste and see the Lord is good. When we look at this story in John 21, I'll get to verse 15 in a moment. But this is a story of post-cross. And you know the story. Satan desires to sift you and how Peter went out and he denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but the trifecta, right? And I mean, he sealed the deal, baby. And it was rough. And Judas Iscariot, is the dude that betrayed Jesus in the natural for money. We don't know, you know, his last name's not Iscariot, but he got that name because it could have meant like one of seven different things, from he was a redhead to he worked with dyes and had red hair, or a different location he was from. Regardless, he denies Christ and goes out and hangs himself, literally commits suicide. Peter really denies Christ and betrays him. And he goes out, the Bible says, and he weeps because at that moment he lost connection. He lost intimacy. And some say he's looking into the eyes of Jesus when he denies him. And there's this betrayal. And betrayal is one of the deepest wounds that humanity can feel. And I don't think that we, you know, we've all felt that. We've all been through things that are a betrayal. Friends, especially, I mean, it probably starts in middle school. That's kind of bad, right? It starts in middle school, and it just gets worse as it goes on. And betrayal is a part of life. And so many times I believe the Lord is saying, man, my freedom is here, my help is here, my liberty is here, my spirit is here, and we betray him by going back and doing things our way, based out of fear or based out of greed or based out of a lot of things. Could be shame in our life. We let that thing control us and we turn away from what God had. God had a mission and Peter missed the mark, but he went out and he wept bitterly and he looked for that place of restoration as opposed to Judas, who did not. He looked to cover his sin and take away the pain he had in his own hands. Have you ever thought about that? Peter wept before God and laid his brokenness in the foot of Christ and God, and Judas handled the betrayal. He kind of handled his own judgment. Peter surrendered himself to say, Lord, you're the judge. Judas kind of submitted judgment to himself. And in John 21, we read this place where Peter has gone from the place of brokenness and he's literally gone back to the Galilee. Now, if you see a picture of Israel, it's this long sliver of land, and down here's the Dead Sea, and you got the River Jordan and the little circle up at the top. If you ever look at the map, that's the Sea of Galilee. Peter goes from down here around the Dead Sea area in Jerusalem, and they leave and go up to Galilee. Why Galilee? Because they're fishermen from Galilee. And seven of them, Peter says, they're all back together in the Galilee because there's a mountain there that Jesus said he was going to meet, and he is encountering them. And so they're in Galilee, and Peter says, I'm going fishing, right? He's like, I think Peter might have been from Florida because, like, like a fish, right? He's going fishing because that's what they do. Several of them are fishermen. And he goes back to doing the things that he's done before when the ministry was really thriving. Think about this. Jesus is gone. The ministry is dead. Somebody needs to tell some churches. When Jesus is gone, the ministry is dead. You can keep doing things, but things will wear you out. Amen, somebody. I've had enough religion. Amen. Come on. You're like, where are we at? Are we in a convention or church? You're at church. You're at a church that wants Jesus more than anything. I don't need more religion and more do's and don'ts and wills and wants, right? I don't need more rules. Don't jump rope. Don't smoke dope. Don't jump, chew gum, whatever it is. I don't need more of that. I need more of Christ in me, the hope of glory, Paul says. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. So he goes back to fishing, and he has this pursuit of healing. And there's this stage between brokenness and healing. And for Peter and some of these guys, they just went back to doing some of the things. They just realized, oh my goodness, before God, I'm broken. There's some things messed up in my life. And Peter and the boys begin to pursue life. They've got to go on. But at some point, Jesus encounters them. And I think that's what we actually had here this weekend. Friday was totally different than Saturday when they were both were absolutely good. But the Lord encountered folks that have been, and we all, by the way, myself, I'm the line leader, okay? We've all been broken. We've all been betrayed. We've all wounded ourselves. We've all done things that shame covers us, and we hope nobody ever finds out. And that whole thing about Judgment Day with the big screen and them playing your life, like cold sweat goes down all of our backs, right? Amen? Amen to Pastor, or I'm going to have the Holy Spirit call yours out, right? You go, amen, Pastor. We're all there. We've all done it. We have, unfortunately, because we're all broken. We're all human. We've all made mistakes. This weekend was about God opening the door to encounter and return intimacy. I want my friends to come. We're going to share. I'm going to share some stories through them and tell us about your experience this weekend. This is Bob and Linda, and I think Linda might be the spokesperson, and I'm not sure. But you got the mic, so you're going first, right?
That's what I was told.
You are. Tell us what happened.
Am I on?
No, you are not dead, but this microphone is dead as a doornail.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, wow. It was a full weekend, but amazing. I just want to thank City Light for opening up for an opportunity of a real need. You know, this thing was about sex, and it was about how we deal with it, and how do you talk to your family members. But I just want to say, I'm coming because I felt like the Lord opened my eyes to who was here, and it brought a lot of hope. It brought a tremendous amount of hope. I felt like the Lord opened my eyes to see every generation that's on this earth right now. And it was amazing to know that we all have a vital part in this hard subject that we call it, but it's God's design. So what I saw was I saw grandparents, and I think I saw someone from every decade. But the ones that caught my eye, because most of us that are here have lived through brokenness. We are still walking in brokenness, but with hopefulness and healing coming every day. But the thing is just seeing, you know, knowing the hearts, you know, people with teenagers and who are encountering these things. But this ministry that came in, you know, they brought practical things. They brought hope. They brought everything that we need. But you know what? It's already in us. God has placed within us everything we need. And so there's really the one that we need, and that's him. So what did they do in this conference? They said, you got to go to the one. Yeah, you got to depend upon him. And so he's the one that's going to do what? Bring us into our identity. Bring us into that place of our part on this earth, because everyone here does. But the one couple, there was one couple that caught my eye. It was the most exciting one because they're young. Of course, they're married, and they have a baby on the way. Now, there's some hope right there that they have to look forward to. But you know what? They were here getting equipped before the issues occur. And I just was so excited about that. So here we are on the other end of the spectrum, Bob and I, and we're here to help those that have been hurt, to help those and to help them get equipped, to get healed, to get delivered, and for us to move in this, our time, our space that we're sharing from our age all the way down to that newborn, not even a newborn yet. So anyway, it was a powerful weekend.
Yeah. Okay. I want to read you something here. This is from Matthew 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. This is something that they talked about this weekend, was this right here. This is wonderful. There's the Bible on here, but there's something on here looking for our kids. And it's a thing called the clock. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Other things. Porn is looking for our kids. So parents, please, sit down with your kids. Find out what they're looking at, what they're reading. Be close to them. Assure them that they're there for them to be able to guide them through what's going on. And this right here is great. This is probably one of the best things there is around for You see what it does? Anyway, but I want to let you know, that's the thing that I came away with. It's what Linda and I encountered. You know, we're doing Slaying the Monster class. And the thing that we see brokenness now because they've allowed the eye to see something instead of the word, instead of keeping their focus on Jesus. So that's what I came up with.
My turn. So as Linda mentioned, we got some practical advice to share. And what hit my heart was actually a very simple question that was asked of, how did you learn about sex? And it was meant for a discussion at our tables. And I had wonderful people at my table, and they were sharing, which gave me the confidence to share some deep, dark secrets that I have in my life. And when I shared these secrets, there was no judgment. There was care, and there was concern. And then there was resources and opportunities for me to find healing for something I didn't know was broken. So my feedback for those of you that weren't able to attend the conference is to start with the children in your life and ask the simple question and start it early and just ask them, what do you know about sex? If somebody would have come to me when I was 8 or 9 years old and asked me what I knew about sex, I would have been able to open up to someone and know that it was okay to ask questions and be curious. And as parents, I understand that may be scary because we don't know the truth about sex. I didn't know the truth about sex, but I also learned there are resources out there to teach us about sex. And then there's also resources out there to help parents or people that work with kids on how to start that discussion and open that conversation so that they can learn the truth about sex from the people that are closest to them instead of learning it from other sources that aren't going to tell them the truth. So seek out the resources available so you can have those conversations with your children.
Amen. Love it. Thank you so much for your braveness and your courage. And this is just one of many, many stories that I was privileged and humbled to hear. Getting up on stage and sharing can be a little intimidating for people, let alone getting up and sharing what's going on in their family and these very tender areas of their heart and the hopes that they have for their family and brokenness. And so she's not the only success story. There was repentance and restoration, redemption. I mean, these are the first steps of the amazing things that God is doing, and we're so excited that we were able to have this here at City Light. And there are several next steps. As she mentioned, not only is there the warm embrace, right? Like, let's be real. Let's be honest with each other, because when we come together in that unity, there is strength. And when we point to the Lord and we can help each other fix our eyes on Him, He's the one who's going to make the difference. He's the one who's going to be with us, empowering us through His Holy Spirit in those tender moments, in those moments where we have no idea what to say, no idea what to do. He does, and He's right there, and He has a plan, and they are good. He's got a good plan for your children, for your young one, and for ourselves to walk out in that authority, that freedom, even in the tender areas of brokenness in our own lives. And so not only do you have a community and a family here that would love to support and encourage you into some of those moments of facing some of the hurt and brokenness through the healing place, we also have next steps. So Bob and Linda here, if you have any questions about how I can get some inner healing, prayer counseling, the healing place is a wonderful source. And then the Worth the Fight, Education for Life is the one who put on this event. They're partners of ours. So if you have any questions, you want to get plugged into some life coaching, post-abortion classes, recovery, healing, there are a wide array of resources right here in Ocala. And so we're so excited that you guys were a part of this. If you weren't, the good news is there's going to be more conferences around Ocala. And so for those of you who were there, I want to encourage you to share with your friends, share with your family, speak out and say, hey, we're in this together. I encourage you to get plugged in. It's not too late. Every day is a new opportunity, and so thank you so much.
Actually, Tim and Roseanne have a class, so is that open even for those who didn't avail themselves to the conference?
Yeah, so we have discipleship groups here. Rethinking Sexuality is the yellow book that we've been flashing up here the last couple of weeks, but they're going to go ahead and they're going to lead that, a group for men and a group for women. It's starting this month, so please find the Spaldings. You can go on your Church Center app, and you can sign up right under there through groups. It's a discipleship group. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for sharing. Come on, let's give them a hand clap. Thank you. I love when the Lord begins to heal and restore and you see life. It's like Ezekiel. You know, God said, hey, what do you think about these dry bones? And Ezekiel said, hey, there's a lot of dead people here. There's just bones everywhere. Can they live? And Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. And they did live. The Lord breathed life into them. And only the Lord can create life. Only the Lord can do that, right? He can restore what was stolen and broken. And God is a restorer of these things. And that's really what this story is in John 21. Is as these disciples go out And the Bible says that Peter, there's probably seven of them out there on the lake. And I can see that lake. I'll give you some inside knowledge. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm likely to go back to Israel this year. They've opened up for anyone, whether you've had the COVID shots or not. It's irrelevant now. They're allowing tourists to come back in. I'm likely to go again this November. I'll let you know if you would like to go. But it's nothing like standing around that sea. And the Bible says that Peter came up on shore, and there are places coming out of that lake that you have to step up on. And I can just see it. I can just envision Peter jumping out of the boat because they hear Jesus on the shore say, "Have you caught anything?" And they said, "No, we fished all night. I haven't caught anything." He says, "Throw your net on the other side." And these are professional fishermen, right? And so they're like, okay, throw their net. They drag in 150 plus fish, a large fish, and here we go. And they're and John says, the beloved says, "I think that's Jesus. That's Jesus over there." It's 100 yards or so. They were off the shore. And Peter's like, wait, what? Jesus. And he throws on his coat or throws off his coat or whatever he does, and jumps in the water and he swims to shore to meet Jesus. It's like, I need to tell him something. I need to encounter him. He's the only one that will hear and know and restore me. And I believe so many times that's what believers, followers of Christ, feel when they know there's something undone in their life. And they hear, there is Jesus. And they just dive in, and they forsake the boat, and they forsake the fish, and they just go after it. And poor John and the rest of the disciples, they're like hauling, they're like rowing the boat over to the shore, dragging all the fish. Peter's on shore, and he's like embracing Jesus, like there he is. And Jesus says, "Give me some fish. We're going to make some breakfast here." He already has a little breakfast going. They add to it, and he issues these words, "Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me?" Peter's like, "Lord, thou knowest I love you." Say, "Feed my lambs." There it is. That's the point of a follower of Jesus Christ, is to feed the little ones that are coming toward him. You say, "Well, who are the little ones?" The children, yes, they're the little ones literally, but it's also those of us who are brand new when we were just starting to follow Christ. He said, "Turn to them and begin to feed them." Remember what he said? "Simon, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fell not. And when you are restored, feed your brother." Restore, comfort. That word is strengthen your brother. Now he's saying, "Peter, let's go back to that conversation we had. And I want to give you again a declaration for your life. Yes. Do you love me?" "Yes." "This is what I want you to do. I want you to feed someone else." "Peter, do you love me?" Second time. "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "I want you to shepherd the flock." "Peter, do you love me?" And this word love, he changes to phileo. It goes from agape to phileo. "Do you brotherly love me?" "Yes." "Then as a brother in Christ, feed my sheep." And in other words, he reduces him down to his peers. Peter says, "Lord, though all these guys, all these chaps deny you, I'm never going to deny you." And Jesus says this third time, "Do you love me?" And he reduces him down to all these other guys, all these other chaps. And he says, "Then feed your brothers." In other words, we have a calling to feed the little ones who are coming to Jesus. We have a calling in our life to love God with an unquenchable love that comes from the throne room of God. And we have a calling to shepherd those around us. And thirdly, we have a call to feed the people sitting around us, our peers, us walking together. We have a responsibility. But here, I don't want you to lose focus, because Jesus is actually restoring intimacy. You say, "Wait a minute, I want an encounter with God." He's actually doing that here. He's restoring intimacy back to Peter's life. He's restoring purpose and calling. And one of the greatest things that you can experience in your life is when God actually touches a wound, he begins to heal you, is to open your mouth and begin to share with someone what God is doing in your life. The moment you start sharing, hope starts filling up their heart. It just starts like from the bottom, like an artesian well. It just starts bubbling up. There's hope for me too. When we share our stories of what God has done in our life and in our children, in our friends and family, people around us that are hurting, why are they hurting? Because they have listened to CNN. They have listened to Hollywood. I'm not down in CNN or Hollywood. I'm just saying too many of us have looked to society to coach us about what sex means. We have looked to society and coach us to what a man looks like. Come on, guys. We have looked to society, right? Society says a man makes money, has as many women as he wants, and he never cries. That is the opposite of what God says, right? And let me just say, because I have a woman, right? I have a woman in my life and I have some money in my life, right? Those are not the bad things. It's about those things becoming gods to us. Like if we've got more of them, then we are somehow a man. And Peter begins to have this encounter with God and God begins to establish who he is and his calling. And he says, this trifecta, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I think it's very interesting because he says, feed, declare over them my sheep. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, on the other hand, the person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Prophetically speaking, we have taken the word prophesy and we have raised it to some supernatural, whooper-duper word that just none of us can obtain to. Super duper, whooper whopper. It is a big, big thing that none of us can get to. And Paul says, no, watch. The person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. There was a lot of proclamations or declarations into God has created you to be victorious. I'm prophesying. And now if I bring it right down to you as a person, I begin to tell you what God has promised or revealed to me about you, and that word will be comfort. It will be encouragement. It'll be lifting up. So when you're sitting at a coffee table with a friend and they're telling you the brokenness of their life and the things they're struggling, you can prophesy into them, especially if they're a follower of Christ. You can prophesy into them and you can say, wait a minute. The word of God says that he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. There is always hope in him. And if you'll call on him, he will hear your prayer. You are prophesying and declaring to them the truth. Revelations actually tells us in 19:10, it says, part B, the second passage says, worship God because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? The testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. We can get into that. But what do you have? What encounter do you have in Christ? All right, I want to read a scripture to you. I want to pick something out and then I'm going to stop. Well, watch this. You know, when a pastor says he's going to stop, that's relative, right? It's okay. John chapter 21, in the latter part of this, around verse 17, we're going to go right there. And okay, so Peter's already jumped out of the boat, gone to the shore. There's all kinds of cool things happening. Jesus is saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he asked this third time, and Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked the third time. Why? Because it's symbolic of the three denials. He's understanding, I'm undoing everything. I'm ripping out everything that's going to hold you. And so third time he says, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. And watch verse 18. Are you there? Yes. Truly I tell you, this is Jesus talking to Peter. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. And other translations say, when you were younger, you'd put on whatever shoes you want, whatever belt you wanted, whatever clothes you wanted, and you'd go at will. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. In other words, you're going to live to see a day when other people will put your garments on you and take you and lead you. And he said this is to indicate what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, follow me. Okay. I want to take you to Acts chapter 12. We got time. Simmer down. Text them back. Say, I'm going to be there on time. Just simmer down. Verse 1, Acts chapter 12. About that time, King Herod violently attacked some who belonged to the church. He executed James, John's brother, with the sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter too. During the festival of unleavened bread, after the arrest, he put him in prison and assigned four squads of four soldiers each to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. So actually, it's about this time of year this is going on. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was praying fervently to God for him. And when Herod was about to bring him out for trial, that very night, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping before two soldiers while the sentries in front of the door guarded the prison. Did you miss it? Did you see it? What was he doing? He was sleeping. Wait a minute. Let's back up. Peter is in jail, in chains. James has been executed. The rumor on the street is it made the people happy. Herod wants to get some political points. You know how these... Never mind. I'm not going there. No. Wants to get some points. And intended to kill Peter. Put four squads of soldiers around him. The night before... You see it? What is Peter doing? Why? Because he's had an encounter and restoration with Jesus. When Jesus restored him, you know this, you guys have been reading this. When Jesus restored them, he gave him this promise. When he drew into him and he restored him, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. He said, listen, when you were younger, you'd tie your own belt and your own shoes, but there's coming a day when someone else will put a belt around you and shoes, and they're going to lead you. And Peter is, the night before his execution, he is sleeping because he's like, I ain't old. I'm not dead. I'm not old. I'm still dressing myself. The point I'm making is this. In intimacy with Jesus and with the Spirit, the Lord will speak truths to you that will cause you to sleep even the night before your execution. It'll cause you to sleep when everything's rocking and reeling. When you don't understand what's going on, all you need is an intimate encounter with Jesus. This story is the highlight of when Peter denies Jesus. It's actually the end of the story. It's like Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Yeah, you deny Jesus, and now he's nowhere around. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose, he shows up on the seashore. He gives you a prophetic word, and the promise is he will show up at a day that he promised you in an intimate encounter. That's why we drive in here on Sunday and we cultivate the presence of God. That's why we open the Bible daily and we stop our routines and we drive into him, that our ear may hear his words speak peace to us, because a storm will come. And when the storm's coming, all you really need is an intimate encounter with Jesus and a word that you can stand on. And by the way, that word doesn't come from Pastor Ken. It doesn't come from a powerful worship set. It comes with the soft voice of the Holy Spirit talking to your heart. This is why we cultivate our ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. The truth is, if you're just looking for a routine, you can find it. Routine is not what you need. Life, hope, healing, that's what we need. It's an intimate encounter with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you've been told about the Holy Spirit. We're coming up into the days of Pentecost and the days of Passover or Pesach. And we're gonna look at the Holy Spirit again. We're going to keep talking about that because the Holy Spirit wants to encounter our lives, first and foremost, to bring healing. If there's anybody in this room who has encountered healing from the brokenness of the world and maybe bad choices and maybe someone else calls you, has anybody in this room, amen me, if you've had healing encounters with the Holy Spirit? Amen. 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 So if you're in this room and you're saying, I don't know, I'm telling you, these people just told you there's hope. They just told you there is hope. There is hope. There's hope. Come on and stand with me, and let's just end in some prayer and some worship. Lord, we just worship you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you because in Scripture you have demonstrated your heart. You have demonstrated your desire. Lord, we thank you for this story of Peter and his restoration, this returning to intimacy. Because, Lord, I've been at that place of brokenness and separation. It didn't feel like I had your approval, didn't feel like I had your love, didn't feel your presence near. I felt like I had denied you and I had betrayed you. And we've been in that place where we have felt like we've done that to other people, and we have felt so distant, so broken, so unlovable. But our heart, like Peter, cries out to you, and we drive in. And I pray for the one in this room, for the one listening, that they may feel separated. They may feel like they're unworthy. It's you that has created value on their life. When you created them in the image of God, when you created them in that fashion, you created value in the human life. And so you chase us down. You're unrelenting. Lord, I pray you would encounter us in a strong way. Every week, every day, let there be encounters in our life, drawing us closer and closer, restoring, healing, pouring in your Spirit in our life. I pray that we would be responsive to that. Begin to share what God is doing in our life. Just encouraging. Encouraging our coworkers, encouraging neighbors, encouraging those at the table with us. There's hope in Christ. There's hope in Christ. Lord, I bless his people.
Amen. Well, we hope that this message has brought you hope and encouragement, and it was just what you needed for today. If you're joining us today and we can partner with you in prayer in any way, it would be our honor. Please reach out to us by visiting our website, mycitylight.org. And lastly, if the Holy Spirit has laid it on your heart to give today, you can do that by visiting mycitylight.org and go to the Giving tab, or text any amount to 84321. Be blessed.